The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who was the elderly man walking along, whistling a cheerful little tune in the middle of the Australian desert?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, it is Real Ghost Stories Online, and if you have a ghost story that you would like to share with us, we would love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802 if you want to leave us a voicemail, or you can write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to be a premium subscriber, there's no commercials, you get the advance episodes and access to thousands of episodes in the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. I was in your old neck of the woods.
My old neck of the woods.
I went to Iowa.
Did you see any ghosts?
No ghosts. Didn't see one. Didn't even hear anything weird in the building.
Has Cheryl had anything happen lately?
No, I got the feeling they're kind of leaving them alone, or at least leaving Cheryl alone, because our sister has enough stress right now.
She's got enough going on in this world. One more thing might just
I got the feeling they're being really kind to her right now. It's like there's just a lot going on. And so it's like, no. But it's like, it's so interesting. Every time I go there, I can feel it. You know, like I just walk in and like when I go to the bathroom or I go to the back room and I'm by myself, I just feel it when I'm by myself.
You can feel something watching you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You really can.
And so I'm always like, hey, I'm here, you know, just don't scare me. Leave me alone.
Yeah. You know, the last time I was there, I was totally expecting something to happen because I was cleaning out the old empty room in the back, which is a very scary room, by the way. And that's where I thought something would happen to me, and it didn't. It was that flip reversal thing I have where do you know how like a kidnapper, like somebody who's kidnapped can begin to like sympathize with their kidnapper?
Stockholm syndrome.
Okay, I think I have that with a ghost.
A little Stockholm-y.
I think so. Like I get kind of like a little bit like attached to them. And
well, you were kind of roommates for a long time.
We were roommates for a long time. And, you know, you just like you have this bond with them. I'd like to know if there's other people out there that feel this way too. That have
trauma bond with a ghost.
with a ghost or some sort of spirit, because I really did there. I've lived in other places that had spirits. I did not, right? I did. But something there kind of bonded with me to the point that I really felt like I had to get out.
Yeah, and it's
like,
such
it an- was. I was going to be that weird, creepy lady rocking in the back room, you know, or something. It was like, I think I need to leave. This thing is starting to kind of take hold, you know.
And it's so interesting whenever I go there, because I so strongly like I feel like you should be there with me every time I'm there. Yeah. Like I sent you a picture down the street, like once you step out of where you lived, and it's this really beautiful old church is there, and it's just really old in area. And so I sent you a picture. I'm like, I can't.
And of course, I see it and I cry.
Yeah.
Because I feel so connected to that place.
And I feel like you should be there when I'm there. I don't know. It's like,
it's really weird. It's like I'm really kind of attached to this thing, and it's kind of attached to me, whatever it is. And, but you know, I was expecting to feel that there. I did not. I felt it downstairs in the basement, restaurant area, where, you know, I just go in the bathroom, not thinking, you know, just like, okay. And my sister's over in the kitchen cooking, getting ready for, you know, lunch crowd to come in or whatever. And it was just her and I in the whole building, and something tried to get in.
And it was not our sister.
And she knew I was in there. Like I said, hey, I'm just me. I'm, you know, because I wanted her to know I was down there. You know, I didn't want to scare her. And I'm like, hey, it's just me. I waved at her. I'm going to the bathroom. I'll be, you know, whatever. And while I was in there, something was like really wet. You know, it had a paddle door. And it was really pushing on that. And you could feel the door going back and forth. Like it was really trying to get in. And so, you know, I came out and I looked at Cheryl and I said, tell me, did you try to get in the bathroom when I was in there? And she goes, no, like she's standing at the stove cooking. Like obviously she had not left there, you know. And I was like, well, I didn't think so. I thought that would be real weird of you trying to come into the bathroom knowing I was in there. But that was
the only weird thing that happened. And I can explain it away as it was our brother-in-law, but it was kind of weird because I went to the back room for something. Our nephew had his dogs with him, and I think I was looking for the ball they were playing with or something. And I walked into the back room of the restaurant, and I turned around and I started walking down the hall, and the door slammed. And they don't always keep that door shut, like when we're all just hanging out. But the door slammed shut, and I was like, turned around. I didn't see anybody, and I'm in that hallway. And then I stepped into where they, up by the cash register, and then you can look, and that's where they make all the food right there. And then I saw Carlo back by the dishwasher. So I'm like, well, that had to have been Carlo. But even then, I'm like, damn, he's really fast.
But there's no reason to shut that door. They never shut that door.
So I don't know. It slammed shut. And I'm like, okay, and it was the Carlo, other thing that but strikes that was me fast. About that,
the other thing that strikes me about that is that door is a hollow core door. It was one that we just put there. So it's not a big, heavy, old door that would slam.
It was loud. I've never heard that.
Like, that would be, you know what I'm talking about with a hollow core door.
Yeah, right? And I've never heard that door shut like that.
If you were going to slam a hollow core door, you have to slam it. You can't just, like, give it a push and it's going to catch the wind and slam, right? You actually have to, because there's no other way to get that sound out of a door like that. It's just an old crap door. Yeah. And it's not a nice old heavy wood door.
And when the restaurant wasn't open, we just went there to have dinner. And
I cannot see him closing that door.
Not with just us guys.
Like, we never had that door.
So closed. I explained it to myself as that was Carlo, but it was very strange.
And we do have to explain that old back room that she's talking about now is just a storeroom, like with freezers and dishes and food and stuff. But originally, it had been the embalming room.
There's that.
We'll just throw that in there. when it
there's
was
that. And it's a
home.
Big, it's a big space. Like,
oh, it's huge.
It's a big
it's
room. So I just really thought that was weird because I'd never heard that door slam shut, and I turned around and it was shut. And then I stepped in by the, because I went ahead and walked a few more steps. Then I looked in, but I turned around right away and I'm like, oh, so Carla's really fast. So I don't know. I don't know if that was anything or not, but it was kind of interesting because I'd never heard that happen. And they've had the restaurant there for a very long time, and it has never happened to me before.
Very strange.
So here's a story from Mel, and it says, hey, everyone, my name is Mel. I'm writing in from Western Australia. This isn't my own ghost story, but rather one of my partner's granddad told me. We were sitting at my kitchen table one morning having a casual chat over coffee. There was a lull in the conversation, and out of nowhere, I asked him, do you believe in ghosts? Now, you have to understand, granddad is your classic old-school Aussie bloke. Tough, no-nonsense, calls a spade. I fully expected him to scoff and say something like, ghost, nah, when you're dead, you're dead. But instead, he paused and he said, well, there was this one time. He was about 20 years old at the time, so this would have been around 1965. He and two mates were driving out to a remote cattle station deep in the Australian desert. Granddad was a cowboy, and he'd travel from station to station herding cattle on horseback. He'd work somewhere for a year or so, then he'd move on. This particular drive was going to take a few days, so they had to camp out overnight. The road they followed ran alongside the Goldfields Pipeline, a massive water pipe that was built back in 1903 to bring fresh water from the coast to the arid interior during the gold rush. At the time it was completed, it was the longest freshwater pipeline in the world. It's a huge pipe, almost a meter wide, runs above ground. At some of the joints, small leaks would drip out, and that's where they'd camp since it gave them a source of drinking water. That night, they rolled out their swags. I'm going to guess that's like sleeping bags. There's a few terms in here that I had to look up, and I will explain at the end of the story for those people who also don't understand. So they rolled out their swags by one of those little leaks and slept under the stars. The next morning, Granddad collected some of the dripping water in a billy. I looked that up. I will explain in a minute. In a billy can to make coffee. The three of them were sitting quietly around the campfire waiting for the water to boil when they heard something odd. Whistling. Not from the billy, not from the birds. This was someone whistling a cheerful tune. They looked towards the sound and saw a man walking on top of the pipeline. An older gentleman wearing an old-fashioned suit and top hat, just strolling along and whistling. Granddad and his friend stood there frozen, watching him approach. And as the man got closer, Granddad called out just a simple, good morning. But the man didn't even glance at them. He just kept on walking like they weren't there at all. He passed them by, continued on down the pipe, whistling his tune. Now, this was out in the middle of nowhere. No people, no towns, no roadhouses for miles. Seeing anyone out there would be weird, but seeing that? A man in a suit and top hat walking along the pipe? It scared them so much that they didn't even say a word. They just grabbed their gear, jumped in the oot. I will explain that in a minute, and I don't know if I said it correctly, and got the hell out of there. I don't know that they ever talked about it again after that. They were tough Aussie blokes, after all, not exactly the type to admit they were spooked. Later on, I did a little research into the Goldfields Pipeline. I learned that the man who designed it, Charles Yelverton O'Connor, died by suicide just a few months before it was finished. He'd faced intense criticism, delays, and lack of support from the government. It looked like the pipeline project was going to be a total failure, and one morning in March, O'Connor rode his horse into the ocean and shot himself. In some of the old photographs I found, Charles O'Connor is dressed in a suit and a top hat, like the man Granddad and his friends saw that day. Maybe he still walks the pipeline he gave his life to build, whistling a happy tune, proud that it did work. that it still brings clean water to hundreds of thousands of homes, including mine. Thanks for all you do. Much love to you and Kathy, Mel. So real quick, an OOT vehicle, or maybe it's just UTE.
Okay, sounds like OOT.
I'm going to say OOT. Maybe they say UD. I don't know. It's actually very popular down under in Australia, New Zealand. But the utility vehicle, commonly known as the UTE, maybe, has yet to take off in the U.S. despite the nation's penchant for massive trucks. So it kind of looks like a car pickup. It was invented by the Ford Motor Company in 1925 as a mix between a sedan and a pickup truck.
Okay.
It supposedly came out about... It supposedly came about after Ford received a letter from an Australian family in need of a vehicle that could serve their farming business as well as everyday tasks. Then the Billy, which I had no idea.
Kind of makes me think of like an El Camino.
It kind of, yeah.
But maybe it's maybe it has that one extra seat.
I think, yeah, it looks like it has more room in the front cab.
Okay.
You know, here in the U.S., we just have pickups that have...
Yeah, back in remember the old El Caminos? Mm-hmm. They were sort of a car.
Yeah,
but they had the pickup back.
That guy used to date Steve Shank had an El Camino.
all the hot guys did.
Yeah. Oh, crazy ones, baby. The Billy in Australia's slang primarily refers to a metal container, typically made of tin or aluminum, used for boiling water over an open fire. Okay. I didn't know that, so I learned some new things today. I find that story to be so fascinating, though, because they're just out doing their job, literally in the middle of nowhere. You would not, just to encounter someone walking would be strange enough, but to see someone walking like that and just whistling. And granddad's like, good morning, and doesn't even get a response.
Yeah, let's think of this. Okay, if it was truly a person, right, that was doing this, and I looked up the Goldfield pipeline thing, and these are just big, huge-ass pipes just sitting on top of the ground that water runs through, and he's up on this. So it appears to me he'd be up kind of high for one thing, like balance would sort of be a thing here.
It would be rounded.
Yeah. So you would have to have really good balance, number one, if they're walking on sections of this, right? And like I said, it looks like you could be up fairly high. I can't, it's a little hard to distinguish exactly how tall these are. But with that said, let's say there's some situation where he is just walking down it and he left his car down there and he's going back to his car and he's going to get in it and leave. Because that would be the only explanation. If it's truly a person, they must have some sort of way out of this, right? But why would you, number one, why would you dress up like that? Why would you walk on top of the pipe? Why go out there and do it at all?
And you're out in the middle of nowhere. You couldn't
that's like crazy person
stuff. You would need provisions.
Well, exactly. See, that was my next thing. I was going to say, you'd have to have like a backpack.
Yeah.
Or the olden term, I like provisions, like you said. Provisions.
Kathy and I, like, that's my thing. Like, the Mormon Trail, the Oregon Trail. It's like, how did you get your provisions across that river? When I think about way back in the day, and these people hauling stuff. I'm like, how do they deal with their provisions?
Like, did he have his heart attack? You know, I'm just thinking.
Exactly. All these things. So like, the guy had no provisions with him.
He had to have a Billy for coffee water or whatever.
One would think he would need some food.
Yeah.
He's out in the middle of nowhere.
Like, but that's what got me, too. It's like, did he have a... I think the outfit itself is not very conducive to this kind of difficult terrain, number one. It doesn't make sense that you would just be walking casually along in a suit with, like... It sounded like it was like a long kind of coattail suit with a top hat.
Said a suit and a top hat.
It just, that doesn't make
sense. Yeah, old-fashioned suit and a top hat.
Okay, and then walking up on it is weird. Okay. I mean, I guess there might be a reason to walk on it. so you don't kick up a snake or something. But it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. And the last part of this is she knows her granddad.
Yeah.
And that, or he, I'm not sure who we're talking
about. It says Mel. It could be a guy or a girl, so I'm not sure. Yeah,
but they know their granddad, right? And that they were, even when they asked the question, they were like, oh, the answer they were expecting was just like, nah, not at all. You know, that's stupid stuff or whatever. But he answered in that way that we get a lot of, well, there was that one time. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hear that all the time.
And that's always stuck with them.
Yeah.
Right? That he knew it wasn't right. And it was enough that it scared these three really tough cowboys from the outback, right? Like, it would take a lot to scare these guys. And they didn't even discuss it. They just stood up, got their stuff. They didn't say, hey, you, do you need help? Right? The guy seemed oblivious to them anyway, from the way I took it, right? But, you know, if I was in the middle of nowhere and I saw another person, I probably would say something to him.
Yeah. Or the guy's a psycho who's like escaped from someplace. But there's no place to escape from.
But like, you know, if there's a few of you tough guys like they were, you know, they probably would go, hey, what are you doing out here? Like, why are you here? And I kind of think they tried that. And he just,
well, I said good morning. The guy is not having any part of it. He's just whistling.
And he just keeps walking, right? So it's so weird. I think they all knew in their heart it was wrong. And what they were seeing was wrong.
Well, they all got in the ooh.
They got up into
thing.
The the El Camino. I'm just gonna call it an El Camino. They all get up in the El Camino and they're just, we're done.
Mel, look up El Camino, and then you'll know what we're talking
Mel,
about.
Mel, you look up El Camino. And so I'm just thinking their gut instinct was right. And then to back it up with this story, it is a very interesting story.
I'm glad that Mel looked into it and,
because
and was able to see maybe Charles O'Connor is the person they saw.
I kind of feel like it is. Like, if you look at these pictures of this pipeline, like, there's a lot to it. It's not just the sections of pipeline, but then there's also places, you know, where it might have to cross terrain. So they probably had to build some sort of bridge structure to get it. And, like, it was a huge endeavor that they were doing. And this is not unusual for people who are geniuses.
Yeah.
Who, you know, are trying to get something done and other people can't see their end result. It's not happening fast enough. It's not going fast, whatever, you know, and the pressure just becomes intolerable. And I think people that are geniuses struggle sometimes anyway, because, you know, it's kind of like the Vincent van Gogh idea that, you know, this world is just too, you know, it's not good enough for you. You know, I mean, you are too good for it. Let's put it that way. And I think that it can be really, really difficult, and the stress got to him. And he did kill himself in an interesting way by riding that horse out into the ocean.
It's just, I like to think maybe it's him. And in the afterlife now he has found peace and purpose. And like, look, it did work and he's
contented.
Proud. I like the idea of it being him.
Yeah, and he was whistling and fine and contented. And I would think, you know, we talk about this sometimes. We were just talking about on a episode not too long ago about where would Babe Ruth haunt? Yankee Stadium or the spring training facility or why or both or not or whatever. But I think you would go to what was very much a heart and soul place for you. Mm-hmm. And this whole, you know, pipeline, he just was committed everything to it. And so I could see him just kind of being with it.
Yeah.
And is he there all the time? Maybe not. Maybe he just comes now and then and comes back and looks and see how things are going or whatever.
And maybe it's some kind of residual haunting.
And maybe it is. Maybe it's him just, maybe at one point he did that, you know, and it's just him on a loop.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know.
Something like that's real. Now that I like that idea almost better than any of them.
But I just find it so fascinating. He's just kind of on a loop,
and they happen to be camp out right where he.
Well, let's go to a call.
Hi, Tony and everybody. I just wanted to share a story. I've had many ghost stories over the years, but this story is one of my scariest. This happened maybe 9 years ago or so, and it was when I was living in my old house in Portland, or my former house, excuse me. It wasn't a very old house, but I was curious around that time and considered doing a Ouija board. And I had asked a friend if she wanted to do it with me, and she was into similar things that I was, the occult, ghosts, these kinds of things. And I had never had the opportunity to really do a Ouija board before. So I asked her if she would like to do it with me, and she was like, hell no. And so I was determined to have an experience, and my initial feeling was that it wasn't going to be anything, that it wasn't going to work. Even though I've always been a very spiritual person, I wasn't really betting on it happening. So I decided to do one by myself. And so I ended up making a board, and I didn't want to buy one. So I just made a Ouija board with hello and goodbye and all the numbers and all the letters. And I put a piece of silver on the board, which I read protects from any negativity coming through the board, a piece of real silver jewelry placed there. I made sure to say goodbye, and I did all of the precautionary things that one would tell you to do. While I was doing the board, I actually got some responses, and I recorded it on my, I think I recorded it on my computer. So I had, my computer kind of, I need to go back in my files and see if I still have that recording. But I remember I recorded it, and while I was doing the Ouija board, which I was in there for about an hour with it, just by myself and with whatever came through, and then when I replayed the audio, this recording that I did, you could hear knocks in the walls. But in real time, I did not hear the knocks. So that was one reason I was very grateful for making this recording. And the knocks came in threes. So that's just an interesting thing. And sort of added to like the validity of my experience. Because I was very curious, you know, where would these knocks be coming from? So during this communication I had with the Ouija, whoever, whatever, was coming through the board, I can't recall the details, actually. But what happened after is the most interesting part. So I closed the session. Something clearly was communicating with me, but I also still had this sort of skeptical thought that, like, maybe it was just me doing it. You know, I was just tricking myself, you know, these kinds of things. There's theories around Ouija boards, and especially if you're doing it by yourself, right? So I noticed that immediately after I'd closed the session, I said goodbye, did the whole thing. I felt really depressed and really, like, just down, really down. My mood changed really, really quickly. And I'm typically not that kind of, I'm not a generally depressive kind of person. I can be very moody, but in this particular case, it felt different. I felt like it was sort of out of nowhere, right? But I do think now it was from me interacting with this board and whatever had come through. So I just ended up taking a nap, and I just thought, okay, well, who knows, right? I'm just going to sleep it off. So here's the interesting part. So about, I would say a few days later, within a few days, I had a cat, Basil, who I love and adore, and he has since passed, but he was one of my closest buddies at the time, and him and I were very connected. And I was upstairs where I'd done the session, and I see my cat looking at something kind of flying through the ceiling, if you will, and going into the bathroom. So I was just watching his face. And, you know, it could be a bug or something. So but it was very curious how he was looking. I could tell something was a little different. So I ended up going into the bathroom. I followed him in there. And he was looking in the corner by the shower. And I didn't see anything there. But he was just staring at this corner. So I just thought, well, you know, cats are kind of weird sometimes. They see things that we don't always see. So I just kind of let it be. I didn't see a bug. I didn't see anything. So then fast forward a few days after that. I'm sleeping. Our room was upstairs, so right by the bathroom, the same bathroom, the same area I did the Ouija session. And I wake up. Well, I'm actually awoken. Okay, I'm not waking up on my own accord. I was awoken by the feeling of somebody watching me. And I sat up in bed because I could see, as I opened my eyes, trying to figure out what is this feeling of somebody watching me. I opened my eyes, you know, pitch black. It's early in the morning, around 3 o'clock or so a.m. And I look towards the door of the bedroom and I see this black mass. It's pretty nebulous, but it's also sort of in the shape of a tall man is the best way I can explain it, but still not quite defined with limbs. But there was a head, there was a body, and it was black and pretty blurry on the edges. And again, it's in the, you know, middle of the night. So, but we did have a nightlight in the hallway, which shed some light on this thing. So I could see it in front of the door, which was also right in front of our bed. And I felt this presence from it, this like malice, this negativity. And it wasn't a loving presence whatsoever. So I had sat up against the headboard, sort of like, what is this thing? And then all of a sudden, it flies towards me. And I scream, wake up my husband at the time. He freaks out. And I had seen this entity. As it came towards me, it flew up above my head, and we had a really thin window above our bed. We had a really thin window above the bed, and it flew through the window. And I had never been so scared in my life. I mean, that was one of the scariest moments. My heart was pounding. My husband at the time was freaking out, asking me what was wrong. I was sobbing. It was so scary. And I knew that whatever that thing was the same exact thing that my cat had seen. And my sense was that it had come from my session with the Ouija board. And so ever since then, I actually ended up throwing that Ouija board away. There's some superstitions around burning it that doesn't really help, that kind of releases things. So I just followed the protocol of just, and I had made it right. So I just folded it up, threw it away. And, I will never do a Ouija board ever again. I know now that things do come through. That was a very, very clear experience for me. My cat saw the same thing. I have no doubt in my mind that something came through that board, even though I used precautions and I tried to keep it very positive in my session. You know, I didn't bring any sort of negativity to the session. But for whatever reason, it seems like Ouija boards, maybe not always, right? I think some people have had some good experiences, it seems like. But overall, I think you just don't really know what you're getting into. You don't really know what's going to come through, and that's the risk you take. And there are all sorts of spirits around us. There are all sorts of things that can come through when trying to make contact. So, yeah, I learned my lesson on that one. Well, thank you for your guys' podcast. I've been listening to it for many years now, many, many years. I don't even know how many, but almost since the beginning of the podcast. And I really appreciate you guys, and thanks for everything you do. I'll call back with more. Bye.
Well, thank you very much for that call. And
it was like a public service announcement.
It really was, wasn't it? Like, hey, y'all, this is why you don't mess around with the Ouija boards.
You know, as she was talking about this, do you feel like whatever this was a result of the Ouija board?
Well, it seems like to me, before the Ouija board incident, after the Ouija board.
Yeah,
so this
that's
was not
ha- too.
She wasn't having a problem with it before then. She does the Ouija board, then has this.
Yeah.
So that does kind of seem like it could be connected. I think if it were me, like, I would connect the two things together.
Yeah, and it feels like that was it, didn't you get from the story? Like it went out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't think
But she got rid of that back. Ouija board.
Yeah. She got rid of that. I was thinking as she was talking about this, because when I was a kid, I messed with Ouija boards, as did you,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't ever remember having anything, but then now all of a sudden I think about it and I go, that I know of, because I already lived in a haunted house. Maybe I brought more.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Maybe it's all your damn fault.
I just couldn't figure out that it was any different because it was haunted before and scary before. Maybe I opened up a door and a couple other things came in. I don't know. Or maybe I was just bad at a Ouija board.
You could have been. Because I don't ever feel like... I always felt like when I was playing with it as a kid... that other people were kind of moving it. Like, I never really bought into it.
And maybe that's
I
part
wanted
of it,
to. You, I wanted yeah. to believe it could happen, but I always kind of felt like there's somebody moving it. Because, of yeah. course, it's like, look what it's spelling. And it always would spell stuff, but I just never bought it. But, you know, it's also kind of the same thing as when people who are inexperienced paranormal investigators, I hear this a lot from people I talk to on the Grave Talks, they'll go in and ask all the wrong things. You know, they're just kind of opening themselves up to anything coming through.
Sure.
So sometimes I think the Ouija board, it's sometimes the intention. You know, it's like, are you opening yourself up when you're doing it to allow something in? Are you going into a haunted location and saying, what's your name? And it's like, oh, here's my opportunity to F with this guy. And and so sometimes I do think that you can open yourself up with a Ouija board, but also without one too. I think you got to watch how you approach different things.
Yeah. And I guess the other question to ask yourself before you jump into Ouija board activity is, what's your end game here?
Yeah.
What do you want to happen? Because you are a novice at this, right? We all are pretty much. And we're just jumping in. I guess what we need is a good Ouija board, you know, guide to take us through what we should and shouldn't do with Ouija boards. But, you know, I think sometimes people just get in there and just think, oh, I just want to see what'll happen or whatever. And I think to leave this open-ended and just let anything through is,
agreed,
you know, is kind of a frightening thought.
Yeah.
Whereas if your end game is to say, okay, I lost a loved one, I want to specifically try to reach to them, or, you know, that you have some specific reason you're doing this, I think it might be a little different.
But when you're just opening it up to whatever's going to come through, comes through.
Yeah.
And I don't like the feeling of waking up in the middle of the night feeling like I'm being watched. I don't want that.
Some ghostly dark figure standing there that flies over your head out the window above you. I think you need to take this seriously.
All that of it. Yeah, agreed.
You need to know, like I said, what's your end game here? Mm-hmm. Why do you want to do this? And if it's just for a lark, and for you young people, that would mean for fun. But if it's just, you know, I'm just going to do this goofy thing and whatever, I would say just be careful.
And it's not just with the Ouija board. I think it's anytime you open yourself up mm-hmm. to really trying to get in touch with something on the other side, mm-hmm. you got to be careful. And there's got to be some boundaries, and there's got to be some.
And it's like tarot cards, you know, I think they can do good things, you know, but there's very specific ways to handle them. And I think it would be good to, you know, if you want to get into those sorts of things, have lessons and have somebody help you that knows what they're doing. And I think the same thing really is true with a Ouija board. It's just goofy because it comes in a package that looks like a game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it looks like a game that's very intriguing, which is a little different than we approach tarot cards. And so I think, you know, a lot of younger people will just grab one because it looks like a board game.
Right.
And I just think it's packaged a little bit in such a way that we need to be careful. That's all I'm saying. Just be careful.
And that is your Ouija board public service announcement for today. And if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Call it in. 855-853-4802. Just write it down if you want to. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. Be a premium subscriber if that's something you're into. No commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you very much for listening.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.